Hey guys, this is Justin Alstead, aka The Guardian, and I'm going to share some of my thoughts on the new Cloud of Witnesses set in terms of booster draft. Now for those who remember, last year Gabe, John, and myself did a booster draft preview of all the new cards for the Persecuted Church set a couple weeks before Nationals, and we gave them grades for how useful we thought they would be as far as booster draft. I'm not going to go over the entire set card by card in this little piece I'm doing, but I'm going to hit a few specific cards and then probably discuss the different groups of cards, the heroes, the good enhancements, the evil characters, evil enhancements, kind of doing it by group. And then after that, that's going to be part one. Part two is going to be a recap of my first ever Cloud of Witnesses booster draft. I am going to do a booster draft with my brothers, Jordan, a.k.a. Professor Alstead, and Jaden, a.k.a. Koala King, and John Early, also known as Red Dragonthorn. All right, so let's get started with the card kind of discussion. The first group of cards I'm going to talk about is the three ultra rares, as well as Falling Away. So card number one, obviously number one in the set, the Second Coming. Now here's the really ironic thing. Of all the dominants we've printed in the last couple sets, really even going as far back as Treasures, Second Coming is probably going to be the most highly sought after dominant of any set ever, maybe. But in booster draft, it's actually going to be the least useful dominant ever. Even your dominants like Holy Spirit and Doubt, and for sure ones like Blinding Light, are actually going to be more useful in a booster draft format. That being said, of course you're never going to pass the Second Coming if you happen to open that in your Cloud of Witnesses booster draft pack. I think it's going to be a while before any of us have enough of those in our collections where we feel like, I don't need another one. I can take the more useful hero that's the common and pass the Second Coming. Yeah, I think it's going to be a while before any of us are at that point, so unless you're feeling really, really generous towards the person sitting next to you, you're obviously going to take the Second Coming, add it to your collection, and just hope the cards that get passed to you next are worth using in your deck. The next ultra rare, Broken Covenant, I think this one's actually going to be a pretty good card for booster draft. It definitely helps you speed up your deck, getting a potential draw with up to a three-card draw, dependent on one of the opponent's good brigades they have in play. It just costs you an evil card from hand, which in a lot of cases you're going to have evil cards to spare. For sure something you can afford to let go of in order to get a draw three and, maybe draw into some more offense that you might be missing at that point in the game. So Broken Covenant, definitely going to be a good card for booster. It is an evil card, obviously, but in a lot of cases it's going to almost be more of a neutral card used as an artifact for its draw potential. Then the third ultra rare, Eternal Inheritance. This one's obviously very, very niche card. Takes a lot to get it to work, but then the payoff is pretty sweet with getting a rescued soul. The tricky thing with this is going to be, especially if you're drafting Cloud of Witnesses at the end of the draft, if you haven't drafted a Covenant up to that point, it's not really going to do a whole lot for you. It is a 3-3, but if you've got no Clay, if you've got no Covenant, it might not end up being a card that you would use in your deck. Now again, that being said, it's an ultra rare from the newest set, so you're probably going to end up taking it just to add it to your collection. It's obviously a pretty high price point currently. You can probably trade it for quite a bit if that's the route you want to go, but In terms of just usefulness for booster draft, it does take a lot to kind of get make sure you can use it. You know, obviously needing a clay hero and a covenant and all that. So then the last one I'm going to talk about in this section is Falling Away. Now, Falling Away is just a rare, not an ultra rare, obviously. So it kind of remains to be seen how easy they'll be to acquire. Early after the release of Cloud of Witnesses, you know, you might be like, ooh, that's going to be a card I want to take and add to my collection. And that's also going to be a great card for booster draft. It's pretty much going to be a guaranteed block at some point. Your opponents are not always going to have a banding option, or they're not always going to have a hero that's protected from conversion. So Falling Away is pretty much going to be a block for you. And so if you end up taking that first as your first pick, then maybe you use your next several picks to get more focused on offense, just knowing that you have a one card guarantee block. I could definitely see people going that direction. On the other hand, as it becomes easier or they're more in circulation, maybe people don't need another one, I could see some people passing on it, especially if there's some of the strong heroes from Cloud of Witnesses that are also in the pack, and they need to focus on offense, if maybe their defense is already pretty well established, and there's a really great battle winner that they just need to pick up to help fill out their offense. It's not a guaranteed first pick, at least in my opinion. So others might disagree, but that's totally fine. All right, next I'm going to talk about the artifacts, the covenants, and the curses. We have a few useful ones, a few not so useful ones in this section. I'll start with Wolf Lease. Definitely a very useful artifact. I still like to use the old one if I happen to draft that, especially if I'm not going to be banding on defense. If I can try and prevent my opponents from banding as much as possible, I never mind having that old Wolf Lease. And now this new one's even better with the protecting evil characters from banned abilities. So it even stops the cannot be negated bans that you end up seeing on defense. So Wolf Lease can really help your offense, especially if you're pretty slim on battle winners, and you might just need to rely on numbers to win battles. Making sure that you're only facing one evil character can be a huge advantage. The other artifacts, Pitch and Gopher Wood, obviously not going to be very useful until Noah's Ark is released. And being a promo card, you're never going to get Noah's Ark for booster draft. So Pitch and Gopher Wood, you can pretty much just pass that one by unless you need it for your collection. Aaron's Staff and Laird of the Hebrews, those have some booster draft potential. There aren't a ton of Hebrew cards outside of the Cloud of Witnesses set for Laird of the Hebrews, and you do need a cloud card to trigger it. So probably not going to end up using that one too much unless you happen to be in a draft where maybe multiple Cloud of Witnesses boxes are being drafted, if a host decides to do that. Then maybe it might see or might prove to be a little bit useful. Aaron's Staff, if you are drafting priests packs in your booster draft, Aaron's Staff could be a useful one. If you end up with two or three Tabernacle priests, you've got some soul generation potential there. That's always a very strong thing in booster draft, but that kind of, you know, it forces you to have those Tabernacle priests already. And if you're drafting the Cloud of Witnesses pack last, you might not end up having drafted any of the Tabernacle priests. So on the other hand, if you open Cloud of Witnesses pack first and you happen to pull Aaron's Staff, I would certainly recommend trying to pick up some teal cards so that when you get to the priest pack, you can take as many Tabernacle priests as can be found. All right, for the covenants, first one I'll talk about is Eternal Covenant. I think this one's going to be a very good card for booster draft. Just the ability to recur heroes. You know, you can basically push them out without fear of losing them because you know you can get them back next turn. So you don't have to worry about you know, pushing out your strong hero even though you don't have your strong backup for him, because Eternal Covenant just lets you get him right back when you need him again. So that would be a card I would very much like to see end up in my booster draft deck. I would consider drafting it very early if it got passed to me, or even if it was in my first Cloud of Witnesses pack. Definitely going to be a strong card for booster. The other one, You Will Remain, also has some good potential there, but it is a little bit more conditional. It relies on an opponent either using an End the Battle ability or removing your hero, you know, which would require them to be using it's like a special ability type to remove your hero. That definitely does happen in booster draft, and so I probably, you know, if I had a chance to take You Will Remain, I probably would. It's not going to necessarily win you a battle outright, but in the right circumstance, it could definitely lead to a rescued soul. So, certainly worth taking, especially if you've got some clay or white. You would also have some good defensive numbers, and so maybe can help keep a hero alive in a pinch. For the curses, we've got Thorns and Thistles. You don't see a ton of multiple artifacts being activated in booster draft. Most of the time people just have one, if that. So Thorns and Thistles probably not going to be very useful in booster. It does negate characters and territories, but again, with territory class characters only being printed in the last few sets, a lot of those aren't going to matter too much. You know, someone's not going to have a territory full of territory class characters, so I guess some usefulness. It does have the 4/2 numbers. You know, curses and covenants are always a little bit more versatile in terms of, you know, being able to use them as enhancements or artifacts, so never bad to have versatility in your deck, but a lot of times I don't think Thorns and Thistles is going to be necessarily worth it. Honey from a Lion, again, another kind of niche curse. If you happen to draft a few animals, that one could be good, but otherwise not going to do a whole lot for you. And we already talked about Broken Covenant in the Ultra Rare section, so that'll wrap up the curses. Next, let's talk about the Fortresses and Sites. Cloud of Witnesses, first good fortress. Certainly good for constructed in a cloud deck. Not as useful in a booster draft deck where you're likely to have maybe just one, two, maybe three cloud cards. Just kind of depending on how the draft goes. Probably not going to be terribly useful. I'm not going to be looking to add that to my deck most likely if I end up getting one. The other good fortress, the Throne of Grace. This one could see some play in booster draft. Kind of giving you a negate for potentially every battle. Just by sacrificing a good enhancement. It does require the opponent to be beating you with a special ability, or removing your hero from battle with a special ability. And a lot of times battles just come down to numbers in booster draft, so it's certainly a card I wouldn't mind ending up with. I'm probably not going to spend an early draft pick on it, but if it comes to me in the middle of the pack, I could certainly see myself grabbing it and kind of seeing how it might fit into my offense. For the Evil Fortresses, we've got Colosseum. Daniels create a card from winning booster draft at last year's Nationals. Colosseum could provide some interesting dynamics in booster draft with the ability to toss non-special ability enhancements, as well as the cannot be negated enhancements that you will see some of those in booster draft. Colosseum could could create some cool battles. You know, some cards being tossed, some cards not being tossed. I'm not sure I necessarily take it early in a booster draft, unless I happen to have an offense with a lot of non-special ability enhancements that I think where it might benefit me to be able to toss those. I played a booster draft a little while ago where I had a King Strong Angel and four copies of the 4/4 silver enhancement Hagar and Angel Ashur from Patriarchs. I had four copies of that in my deck. If I ended up with that deck I got to Colosseum, I might consider taking that with that many non-special ability enhancements. So certainly some booster draft decks that Colosseum will fit into, but then again, certainly others that will not have much need for it. The other Evil Fortress Jericho, very specific to Canaanites, unless you have a very strong Canaanite defense that you've been able to draft. There's really no need to take Jericho in my mind. And then finally the site, the one site from the Cloud of Witnesses set, Salem. It's as much an access site as it is a site for guarding souls, so really it's not a terrible one to take if you think people are going to be playing sites in your tournament. If that tends to happen when you play booster draft, then certainly consider taking Salem. But I never really take sites too early. I usually take them towards the end of the pack when there's nothing else that is going to help my offense or my defense. Let's move on to the Lost Souls. The Lost Souls in this set are all very strong. I think in particular the Slave's Lost Soul that restricts people from putting Lost Souls in sites, that's going to be kind of key. It'll be interesting to see if people even bother using sites in a draft that includes Cloud of Witnesses, just for the very potential of this Lost Soul making them useless cards. The other Lost Souls are also really strong. The Lawless Lost Soul, or Divination Soul, I kind of like to call it Divination Soul, can let you get an evil card or generate a soul potentially in an opponent's land of bondage. So the Forsaken Soul, negating opponent's banned abilities. Banding is huge in booster draft. And if you happen to see that Lost Soul, it is the rare. If you happen to see that Lost Soul, that's actually a soul I might consider taking with my first pick even, just because especially if I've got banding, I don't want anyone else to have that soul to shut me down. And then on the other hand, you having it can really put a hurt on opponents who are relying on banding, either for their offense or defense. So Forsaken Soul could definitely have a big impact on booster draft. Really all these souls, probably more so than the souls we've seen in the past from past sets, are going to have a pretty big impact on a booster draft. Next, I'm going to talk about the dual alignment cards. Dual alignment cards are awesome for booster draft, especially we now have two more dual alignment characters in Joab and King Saul. And if you can pick up any of these guys, especially if you're drafting Cloud of Witnesses first, I kind of keep coming back to that. So much of it depends on what order you end up drafting. But if you happen to get draft Cloud of Witnesses first and get a King Saul and a Joab, and then can then go from there with either red-brown with Joab or purple-brown with King Saul, you just got a great character. Makes your deck extremely versatile having those guys. And then the same goes for the dual alignment enhancements, whether it's King Saul Spear, Today, Kinsman's Agreement, Warning Against Rebellion, even Firefoxes as the dual alignment enhancement evil character. Again, versatility is just so key in the booster draft format, being able to use cards in different ways for different situations. It's just going to be a really big advantage if you can manage to get some of those, especially if you can get your deck to have both sides of the dual alignment card. If you've got white and brown and can get today, I mean, you're just going to be in really good shape. The flood is the one dual alignment enhancement that's probably not as useful, just because it needs to be used by a flood survivor or an evil antediluvian. It pretty much clears the table of defense, and you really don't want to do that unless you happen to be in the lead and there are plenty of souls on the table for you to rescue. So I don't see that one being quite as useful in a booster draft setting, but who knows? It could certainly change the direction of a game, without a doubt. Next, let's talk about the heroes. Tons of great heroes in Cloud of Witnesses. A couple of heroes who are just going to be absolute bosses, as I like to call them, in booster draft. You've got Moses, a fight by the numbers hero, three brigades, gold, white, green, pretty much be the centerpiece of an offense. If you happen to get some of those brigades, Joshua, son of Nun, banding cannot be negated, searches for a Joshua hero, gold, red, or dual color, just a great hero. Two different versions of David, David the Shepherd and David the Psalmist. Again, bicolor heroes, purple-red for David the Shepherd and white-green for David the Psalmist. Yeah, just a ton of great heroes. You got a lot of the blue-green Genesis prophets, Noah, Enoch, Jacob, Abel, Joseph. Blue and green are really strong already in booster draft, and they're going to get even stronger with the heroes that we see in Cloud of Witnesses. Melchizedek for potential soul generation. If you've got some good kings, good priests, or cloud heroes, just a really, really solid territory class hero. Got a couple of the single brigade heroes, the flood survivors. Obviously Noah is a dual brigade, but then his wife, his sons, some really strong blue heroes. We've got Barak, fits in really nicely into any red offense, or any gold offense if you've got happen to get Deborah. Abraham, a massive 12-12 hero, just a great hero for booster draft. Searches out another hero if you happen to get a Sarah or an Isaac from either Cloud of Witnesses or from one of the earlier sets. You can find Isaac in a Patriarch's pack, the Patriarch's Melchizedek. You could find a Melchizedek from Rock of Ages that come in the early church packs. Several good targets for Abraham if you happen to get one of those guys that he can band to, and obviously it's a cannot be negated banding, so really powerful hero there. For other mono brigade heroes, you've got three new judges, Samson, well, not new judges, but new versions. You got Samson, Jephthah, and Gideon. If you happen to get some gold judges stuff, really strong heroes to add to that deck. A couple clay heroes, the faithful leaders, the watchful leaders, obviously would help in a draft where you're drafting early church, persecuted church, as well as the Cloud of Witnesses. All right, next let's talk about the good enhancements. Now we've got a ton of multicolor enhancements in Cloud of Witnesses. Most of them involve clay. All the Faith of enhancements have clay and another brigade. But even before those, we've got cards like Sword of the Spirit, a rainbow enhancement, good weapon, potential battle winner. Yeah, that's going to be a great card for booster draft. Word of Their Testimony, one of my personal favorite cards. I might be a little biased, but very versatile battle winner, can overcome an evil human, a demon, got clay, green, and white. Just a really, going to be a great card for booster draft, I think. So I would definitely take that card very quickly if I saw it. And then even if I didn't have any of those brigades, I think I would try to get one of them, in my one of those heroes to match. But having three brigades, pretty easy to do, regardless. And then, as I mentioned, the faith of enhancements, lots of battle winners, lots of banding in those. A couple that aren't quite as useful, maybe Faith of Abraham, Faith of David, not quite as useful in a booster draft format, but you're going to have lots of other ones that are. Faith of Daniel, Faith of Samson, Faith of Barak, Faith of Gideon, Faith of Samuel, crazy number of potential battle winners there. And then some of the model brigade enhancements, also pretty decent. We've got some good flood-related cards, the Dove Returns, Faith Among Corruption. Certainly could help out a blue deck if you've been drafting blue. Gifts and Offerings, if your draft includes a Priest Pack, Gifts and Offerings is going to be a great card for your teal offense. And you got a couple white. Hate Wickedness is a white battle winner. Love Righteousness, a white recursion or search hero card. So yeah, just a lot of great enhancements. There's not going to be many cards that you're going to be disappointed with in Cloud of Witnesses, unless, again, you're drafting them last, and the ones that come in your pack are brigades that you haven't been drafting. Then it might be a little disappointing in that sense. All right, let's talk about the evil characters. Got several multi-brigade evil characters, and again, those are going to prove to be the more versatile cards. Definitely great to have those. I'll mention one in particular. Medium and Endor is a great evil character. Not only is she multi-brigade with brown and pale green, she's 7-8, and then she can exchange a hero in battle with a hero in opponent's territory or discard pile. That is going to be an automatic block a lot of times, just exchanging for the hero that they did not want to attack with. It's really going to, I mean, for one thing, it's going to create some mind games. But just really most of the time, especially if you're blocking with her from hand where they don't know it's coming, that's probably going to get you a block more times than not. I could see just putting her in your deck as a standalone, even if you have no brown or no pale green enhancements, just throwing her in your deck to act as a standalone evil character. We also have Lions. Lions is going to be another great evil character for booster draft. The ability to kind of auto-block a human where the opponent can reveal a good dominant from hand, but they're not going to have a good dominant most times. We don't see a ton of dominants that get drafted in booster. So, Lions is going to basically force them to have some kind of negate or interrupt in order to get around him. So he would be an evil character that I would definitely consider taking early in the pack if that happened to come to me in the draft. Lots of other good mono brigade evil characters as well. Black is three pretty big evil characters. Sisera's Army, King Ashish, Army of Jericho. Brown gets a couple nice ones. Shimmy, McCall. Both of those kind of help speed up a deck. So that can be really good for booster draft. Then we've also got three new pharaohs for the Gold Brigade. Hard-hearted Pharaoh, Deceive Pharaoh, and Murdering Pharaoh. Deceive Pharaoh can be a potential auto block if your opponent is rescuing with a female hero, or you're able to get a captured female, then you can withdraw a male hero. So depending on how well you can manipulate the capturing and that, you might be able to use that for a couple blocks. Then we have the new evil theme, the Antediluvians. Now these guys work best with each other, and it's kind of unlikely you would get more than one, maybe two in a single draft. So these guys aren't going to be terribly impressive, I don't think. Again, just because they work so much better together as a theme when you've got more than one of them. So certainly if you're drafting pale green already, they'll fit right in. But similar to that, the new gray Syrians, Syrian mercenaries, Syrian reinforcements, and the soldiers of Zobah, again, they work better within the theme, not as much as just a general use evil character. Again, certainly if you're already in gray, those guys are going to do just fine in a gray booster draft defense. All right, last but not least, we'll just hit the multi-brigade evil enhancements quick. We got several new multi-brigade enhancements. We'll start with Everyman's Sword. We have potential battle winner here as a weapon class enhancement. That's going to be a great card, especially when you're drafting Cloud of Witnesses with all the multi-brigade heroes, evil characters, whatever you need to get rid of. Love of Money is going to be, I think, a sneaky good card for booster draft. Being able to put that on your strong human evil character who can then use enhancements of any brigade, that's just going to make a really hard evil character to defeat for your opponents. A couple other ones, Throne of the Beast, Mimicking Miracles, Foreign Exile, all decent enhancements, but again, kind of a little more niche in the sense that, Throne of the Beast, that one's pretty, I guess, a little more versatile. Used by a human, you can ban to a non-human. If used by a non-human, discard a human. So that one definitely fits right into any deck with brown or crimson. Mimicking Miracles needs to be used by a magician. There's a decent number of magicians out there, especially in the most recent sets, but the ability to copy the enhancement, it could work out, but I'm not going to be taking that one too early, I don't think, in a draft. Same with Foreign Exile, that one's more of kind of a constructed deck card, works better with Raider's Camp. If you happen to draft a Raider's Camp, I guess, and you come upon Foreign Exile, by all means, go for it, but that's kind of relying on one card from a much older set to work. Then we also have Confusion, John Early's Nationals, create a card from winning Type 1 2-player. This is going to be a card that's a lot better in constructed. In booster draft, you're just simply not going to know what your opponent might have in his deck or in his hand, as it only removes cards from those locations. It doesn't hit anything in play that you can already see. So, sweet card, going to be a force in Type 2 especially, but in booster draft, not as much as far as the usefulness there. The two tricolor artifact killers, paying taxes and treasures of war. I kind of mentioned this earlier, but artifacts aren't a huge part of booster draft. Although you do sometimes see like an unholy writ or household idols that might hinder your offense, so certainly worth taking these. I'd say maybe middle of the drafting of the pack, or if there's nothing else good for the offense left in the pack, I certainly wouldn't mind having one of those at my disposal to take out an artifact that's kind of holding me back. So I think that's about it for the multi evil enhancements. We got some mono brigade enhancements. Brown's got three really nice ones. Give Us a King, Casting Stones, and Provoked. All three of those are going to be great in booster if you're playing brown. Deceitful Sin, nice crimson one. Potential to get a stalemate and the battle situation. So certainly if you're going after crimson, you're going to be happy to see that one get passed to you. Evil Gold has Evicted, Egyptian Treasures, and No Straw. Three very nice enhancements for the Egyptians. No straw and evicted in particular are going to be nice battle winners, especially if you can get some Egyptians or some pharaohs to really give them that extra bit of advantage. Then lastly, we've got the antediluvian pale green enhancements, wickedness abounds, Cain murders Abel, continuous evil. I'd say the first two, wickedness abounds and Cain murders Abel, are going to be the more useful ones. Continuous evil, again, is more useful in its theme. Not going to be as versatile or useful in a booster draft format. All right, that's going to cover it for the preview part. Be sure to check back later. We'll have part two will be my recap of the first booster draft that I do with Cloud of Witnesses. And looking forward to doing that and then giving you guys kind of a summary of what I draft and how the games go. And yeah, so until then, we'll catch you later.
Brought to you by Land of Redemption and Three Lions Gaming. Visit ThreeLionsGaming.com for all of your redemption needs.